So, starting from the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, I'll be working our way on to Hey Amud Aleph. We saw the Gemara last time, but now we have to actually deal with what's going on in it. Three lines up from the bottom. We already talked about the status of an egg that is laid on Yom Tov in terms of its use that day. Then we talked about its use the next day, the second day of a two-day Yom Tov. We talked about a Shabbos Yom Tov sequence. So now we're talking about the status of the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So Itmar, Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Rav Ushmuel Damri Travayu Nolda Bazeh Asura Bazeh. The Rav and Shmuel agree that the egg laid on the first day of Yom Tov is also on the second day of Yom Tov, meaning we're viewing it essentially as one long day. Disnan, as the Mishnah says, Barishona hayu mekablin edus hachodesh kol ha-yom, that originally they would accept testimony about the moon all day long. So if today was either 1st of Tishrei or 30th of Elul, they would accept witnesses all day long, working under the assumption that it was the 1st of Tishrei. So you're treating it like it's Rosh Hashanah at that point. But they would accept the Edom. Actually, if you see Rashi, Kol Hayom, one line up from the bottom, Yom Shloshim Shel Elul, Umi Ba'erev Hayu Asurim De Malacha. From the night before, they didn't do Malacha. Shema Yiskadish HaChodesh Lamacha, V'nim Tzashar Laila Hazei Yom Tov. Because it could turn out that today was Yom Tov. Fine. Shekin Kol Yom Mitzapin Le'eduz Roei Halavana, Ulai Yavau, V'chol Shoa Shebo'en, Anshetach Shachayim Mekablin, Edusan Amikashin HaChodesh Bo Bayom. All day long they would anticipate Edom showing up, and if the Edom do show up, then they're going to declare that day, in fact, to have been Aleph Tishrei. That's what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Pam achas, nishto ha'edim lavo. But one year, the witnesses took a long time showing up, v'niskalkulu ha'levi'im b'shir, and the result was that the song of the Levi'im became corrupted. What that means is something we're going to see in a moment. I just want to finish the line first. But as a result of whatever it was that happened to the song of the Levi'im, hiskinu shalo yehu mekablen es ha'edim ela ad ha'mincha. They said, okay, we're only going to accept witnesses until Mincha. Mincha meaning the time to bring the afternoon Karban Tamid is what we're talking about. The Vimbo Edim and Amincha Ulamala. No again, Osoyam Kodesh, Ulamacha Kodesh. If witnesses showed up after that, we said today is Kodesh and tomorrow is Kodesh. If you take a look at Rashi, he explains what that means. Rashi is a little bit far down. Where was that Rashi? Actually, not that far down, I'm sorry. It's the Rashi Ad HaMincha, the beginning of the thin lines. He says, Ad HaKrovas Tamid Shalbein HaRabayim, until they had time to bring the afternoon carpet of it. Aval Acher Mikan, Oso Hayom Harehu Mu'ubar. But after that, after you hit the time for the afternoon Tamid, so we'll say that day is Mu'ubar, meaning that Elul ends up being 30 days. Umonin Miyom HaMachras Liyom HaKippurim Vesukis. And you start counting the next day, 1st of Tishrei, and that's how you develop 10 days later as Yom Kippur, and 15 days later as Sukkot. That's what Rashi says. Now, realize what Rashi is telling you. He's saying something remarkable. Remember the way it works when you have witnesses show up. Right? A little refresher course in basic astronomy. The system is that the moon is not visible at the time of the new moon because the moon is in between the sun and the earth. Right? The sun is over here, the earth is over here, the moon is in the middle, therefore the sun's rays are shining directly at the moon, and you're not going to see anything of the moon itself. All the light is on the other side. That's what's happening when you have a new moon. So what that means is that there's a period of time when the moon is invisible and the witnesses aren't seeing anything. By the time the witnesses actually see something of the moon, the month already began. It's hours and hours later. How many hours the Gemara discusses? 18 hours later, whatever it is. But there's a long period of time. So if your witnesses show up, let's pretend that the 30th day of Elul was Tuesday. Okay? Just to pick a random day. The 30th day of Elul was Tuesday. When your witnesses show up Tuesday afternoon saying, we saw the new moon, right? So they're describing having seen it in the sky on Tuesday afternoon, maybe towards sunset or whatever it is. That means that Tuesday was really the first day of the new month. Tuesday should have been Aleph Tishrei. We're not going to call it that. We're going to call the next day Aleph Tishrei. But Tuesday should have been Aleph Tishrei. So what that means is that because of our concern about what happened with the song of the Levi'im, the result is that we're now throwing everything off in our calendar. Right? That's the upshot of this. We're now going to count from the wrong day. We're going to call tomorrow Aleph Tishrei when really it's Beis Tishrei, and so forth. So the Pnei Yoshua looks at that and says, how'd you get away with that? You're not supposed to be able to do that. So if you take a look on your sheet at source Beis, that first source there where I brought you the website is simply a site where they talk about the phases of the moon in case anyone feels like brushing up on moon phases. The story here, as the Pnei Yoshua explains it, is this. He says, "Ein l'smoa demishum kilkol hashir ha'yudochen kol ha'moados mikvi asen ha'amiti." He says, "Don't be shocked that because of the mess with the song of the Levium, they pushed off all of the Yamim Tovim from their proper setting." Sherei nira chodesh bismano, because after all, the moon was seen on time. If this wasn't Rosh Hashanah, they would have called today Aleph of the new month. It's only because it's Rosh Hashanah and you have the Song of the Levium problem that they actually do this. Ela de gedola mizumatzino. But he says, that's okay. We have even worse things that we do to the calendar. Sha'afilu mishum chibur arava. She'eno ela menag hanevim. Dachinan kol hamoedim. Dela likla arava b'shabas. He says, after all, when you think about the banging of the arava in the Beis HaMikdash on Hoshana Rabbah, which is a menag hanevim, we push off all of the Yamim Tovim in order to make sure that doesn't come out on Shabbos. Because there's a whole thing about, can you do it on Shabbos? If you don't do it on Shabbos, are the Tzedukim going to recognize this as a real minhag? Because the Tzedukim claim that this wasn't a real minhag.
Rosh Hashanah Rabbah?
So they did everything they could to avoid Rosh Hashanah, to avoid Hoshana Rabbah turning out to be Shabbos. So he says, we're willing to do that. Then of course we can do it for this too. After all, you're worried about messing up a Minhag HaNeviim, and you're going to change the calendar. The Shira is a Del Reisa, and it's a Del Reisa which we say is Ma'akiv. Your carbon is not valid without a proper song. So therefore, they are without a song. I'm not sure if it's without a proper song. But you can certainly change it for that.
But
yeah.
He doesn't tell us the underlying reason. The reason is, I mean, Shabbos is set. We can't tamper with Shabbos. But everything else, we have been given the power to be Mechadish Tachodesh. It's in our hands.
Right.
That's probably
right.
The underlying reason.
That's the next line. No, because we have to finish the line.
Oh.
Hang on. Just Alan, what?
Yeah, but why not just call the second day Yom Tov Beis Tishrei?
Right. Ah, so hang on. Just to finish the line first, he says, "V'ha'inu mishum demoedim mesurim lebeisdin tachsiv atem afilu mezidin." When it says, "Asher tikro some," right, where the atem is in the osa is a separate point. But the point is that we read it in the Gemara as you are able to change the calendar, even mezidin, even on purpose.
But his case is when the calendar was fixed in the time when he had witnesses, and the witnesses came and Hoshana Rabbah would have ended up being on Shabbos. Would they have changed the dating of it, even with witnesses?
Says again, if witnesses showed up,
right, and based on the witnesses coming,
so that's a classic.
Hoshana Rabbah would be
on Shabbos, right? So that's a classic question in the Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah deals with this issue, and there are two views among the Tanoim. One view is that no, you don't have the ability to do that. There's a limit to what you can do. No, I'm sorry. On the case that you're talking about, the answer is yes. They will throw off the witnesses. They will confuse them. They will interrogate them until they say something wrong. They will do anything they can in order to avoid that happening. What the machlokas is about, if I remember correctly, is whether you can actually invent testimony. In other words, I need to call today Rosh Chodesh in order for the calendar to work out the way I want it to. But no witnesses are showing up, so what do I do? Can I come up with it anyway?
But didn't they, in the basement, didn't they hock the Rabbis on Shabbos too?
So, no, I think that was the problem, that you didn't want Hoshana Rabbah to end up on Shabbos.
Was the issue that they wouldn't do it? Shake the Lulav on Shabbos in the basement, why can't you do the Arava?
Why can't you do Chibur Arava on Shabbos? So I don't remember.
Why is Nanuim and Chibur? They're two different things.
They are, but I'm not sure what you would do. The question is fundamentally, what's wrong with Chibur on Shabbos? Yeah. And I don't remember offhand. I have to look it up and send out as an email.
But isn't this the same issue as Lo Adu Rosh?
You can't say because...
Yeah, but where does Lo Adu Rosh come from? Lo Adu Rosh comes...
So you never have 2 days of Noach HaNefesh.
So that's the
that means they're manipulating.
Lo Adi Rosh, in part, is as you're saying, you don't want Yom Kippur to be a Sunday or a Friday,
right,
because then you have 2 days of no fresh vegetables and 2 days of not being able to bury, right? That's true. But that's not all of Lo Adi Rosh. The other element of Lo Adi Rosh is not to have Hoshana Rabbah come out on Shabbos. It's Hoshana Rabbah is the seventh day of Sukkot. So if you did Rosh Hashanah on Aleph, Hoshana Rabbah would be Shabbos. That's the other two, the Dalet and the Vav, are about Yom Kippur.
But I thought, I guess incorrectly, that the way they manipulated that was by when they added the leap years.
Not the leap years, but the leap days for months. In other words, you can stack the deck based on how the months are in the run-up.
You do it on a monthly basis, not
to try to
yeah.
Except that you have certain rules. You can't have more than 8 leap months or chaser months in a year, and you also can't create a situation in which people are looking up and pointing to the moon and saying your date is clearly wrong.
Yeah, you have certain days, 30 days between certain Purim and Pesach, you can't tamper with certain months. But we have to, practically today, we know the Maalid, and the Maalids are often the day before the Rosh Chodesh. Often, when you announce the Maalid.
Well, the Maalid is not supposed to be when Rosh Chodesh is anyway.
The concept of the Maalid is that in theory someone would have been able to identify the Maalid.
No, the Maalid is not
visible. You can't identify
the time of the Maalid is not visible. The time of the Maalid, well, for two reasons.
An hour after the Maalid wouldn't be visible. That's
correct.
Still not visible. It takes a longer period of time.
Start from square one. The Maalid itself, or lunation as they call it in English, is supposed to be the period of the moon, the time it takes for the moon to be back in the same phase that it was in when we started this a month ago. However, it's an average time. There is no such thing as the period of the moon is not like the period of the sun or the rotation of the earth, because the pull of gravity from the sun throws off the path of the moon. The moon actually takes different periods of time depending on the time of year. So what you have is an average Maalid. That's number one. Number two, the Maalid that we work with is based on when it's supposed to be in Yerushalayim. So you're not even talking about, you know, our time. Every time you do the math, you have to remember that you're off.
It's true, but it doesn't change anything, because we know when the day of Rosh Chodesh, we know when Aleph Rosh Chodesh is in Yerushalayim. So when they announce the Maalid is Shabbos in the morning, they mean Shabbos in the morning, Yerushalayim time. And if Rosh Chodesh is Sunday, it's the next Rosh Chodesh the next day.
So the thing
so
is,
the Maalid is not...
The Maalid is not when it's visible.
Starts, right.
So the rule is supposed to be, if you want to talk about the technical piece of it, the rule is supposed to be that if the Maalid occurs before a certain number of minutes after midday, then that night is Rosh Chodesh. If the Maalid is later than that, then Rosh Chodesh is pushed off to even further, an extra day. That's the basic thing. That was the fight in the year 922 between Rav Sajigon and Ben Meir, was the fight because Ben Meir said that the time that we were using was wrong. He said that we were saying only X number of minutes after, so the Chalakim, after midday, and it should be more than that after midday. And there's a lot of debate as to where he got his number from and what this was really about. Was it about the primacy of Eretz Yisrael versus Babel? Was it about not wanting them to play with the calendar too much? That's its own discussion. But the bottom line is that the Maalid is not supposed to be consonant with Rosh Chodesh. The Maalid is supposed to be before Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So, we still didn't answer the question of why didn't we simply say that day was then Aleph when they came afterwards. But that was exactly his point. He said, if Edom come from the Mincha and Lamala, then we're not going to call the Edom valid for today. We're going to push them off until tomorrow. And therefore, in the future, we won't mess up with our song. If we were to call today Aleph, like Alan was suggesting, then we'll have song issues. And we have to now discuss what went wrong with the song and what were they concerned about. But that's why they would say the next day.
That's very dramatic, though. You're saying the song is more important than getting the right fast day for Yom Kippur.
And that's exactly what the Pnei Yeshua was so surprised about. To which he said, his answer is, yeah, you can do that. The calendar is up to us. So, in order to understand what we're talking about, though, what it was that went wrong with the Song of the Levium, you have to know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So I brought it for you here in Source Gimel. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is really the place where this is discussed. It only comes up here tangentially because we're talking about the status of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But this source is really the source of Gemara. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Amud Beis. The Mishnah there that the Gemara is commenting on is the same piece that we quoted here about Barishona Hayu Mekabla Neidus HaKodesh Kol Hayom. So the Gemara says on that, Ma Kilkul Kilkulu HaLeviyim Bashir. What was it that went wrong with the song? So they give two answers. Hacha Targimu, here they explain, Shalo Amru Shira Kol Iker. They didn't sing. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know if today was the 30th of Elul or the first day of Tishrei. If it's the 30th of Elul, there's one song. If it's the first day of Tishrei, it's another song. So they said, forget it, we're not singing. They didn't sing. Rabbi Zera Omar, Sha'amru Shira Shalchol Im Tamid Shal Bein Ha'arbayim. Rabbi Zera said, no, the problem was they did a weekday shir. And once your Eidim show up, it turns out that this was Rosh Hashanah. So therefore they said, we're not going to call today Rosh Hashanah because of this. Those are the two views in the Gemara there. Take a look now at Rashi here, please. Rashi on the top of Hayamid Aleph. V'niskalkalu alevim bashir. Tamid bashir, tamid shalbein harabayim, the song of the afternoon tamid, so far so good. Sha'amru bo shira shel chol. They said the weekday shir, in other words, like Rabbi Zera. They thought witnesses aren't showing up. Today is therefore 30th of Elul. Ukshabo nimsashu kodesh. Then they showed up and it turned out to be kodesh. Ubishel shachar ein taus, Rashi says. Presumably, if they said the weekday one in the afternoon, they also said the weekday one in the morning, no? So why are we only talking about what happens in the afternoon? Divitamit shel shachar afilu hukdash hachodesh kodem hakrabaso shir shel chol hayu omrim. Because he says in the morning tamid, they always did a weekday one. Even if witnesses showed up that early that you knew it was Rosh Hashanah, doesn't matter. The tamid shel shachar in the morning on Rosh Hashanah always had a weekday song. Why? Lefisha v'rov hashanim ein ha'edim ma'arim lavo kokach. Because that's really unusual for Edim to show up that early, because that would mean that the moon would have had to have been visible before the night before. It takes a lot in order for that to work out.
But it's kind of like what we do in the Sefarad, right? Because they will do the Shir Shel Yom. Let's say Tuesday comes out on Yom Tov, right?
Yeah.
So they do the Shir by Shacharis. They don't wait till later. Although Musaf has not been Arbaim either, but
yeah,
the location of the Shir, right? Ashkenaz versus Sefarad. It's interesting where it's placed.
Right, but then we're not changing it based on Shabbos, Yom Tov, or weekday. I mean, Shabbos is different anyway. But no, Yom Tov,
the only place we do it is really Rosh Chodesh, where we say really.
You're assuming you only say Brachinashi.
Brachinashi, and well, that's
the
Gra.
That's the Gra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what special shir do they do for Rosh Hashanah?
What is the shir for Rosh Hashanah? Hang on, I believe.
Nope.
No. There's a special shir for Rosh Hashanah. I believe it is the. No, they don't have it in here. They have here the special minhag hagra for what to say in Tehillim for all the Yamim Tovim, but he doesn't do Rosh Hashanah here. He doesn't do Yom Kippur here. Yeah.
Sure, we do
I mean, it's clearly a special.
It's
clearly a special shir where the conversation doesn't begin. The only question is, what is the shir? But it's clear there's a shir. I mean, my inclination is to say it's Lashem Aratzum Loa. That would be my inclination. Just because we use that for Rosh Hashanah.
I'm virtually certain that it's the shir.
Oh, no, what we do today is in a Hanami. That's true. But I'm talking about what they sang for the Karban.
So there actually was a different one.
But it's a good point. I will send out what it was, because I should have looked that up. Okay, so I got two things to send out. Good. So Rashi sides with Rabbi Zera. He says they sang the song for the weekday. Tosfos here asks a question. If you see Tosfos in his kakul olavim bashir, he says bashir shal ben or bayim ma'ri. It's about the afternoon shir. Sha'am rishir shal chol shalom yisvim shabayom edim osayom v'nogu osayom chol ukshabalachar mincha nimtashu kodesh. The same narrative that Rashi gave. And he says, don't say it's the Shacharis one. Aval eino omer b'shir shal Shacharis, shamu shal chol b'tamet shal Shacharis, afilu bo eidem kodem akorim b'tamet shal Shacharis, yom b'shir shal chol, all the way down until the fifth of the thin lines. V'hikshar Rabbeinu Peretz. So Ravina Paris asked, "Ve'ha'ika kilkul gabe musafin?" Well, didn't you have the same problem, he asks, regarding the carbon musaf? And there it's not a sheer problem. It's how do you bring the carbon musaf?
And the number of carbonos.
Everything. What are you doing? What are you doing with your carbon musaf? Are you bringing it on the gamble? How do you handle that? That's a much bigger issue, I think, than your shira problem. Why do they only worry about the avoda of the carbon tamid? He says. Once the Edim show up in the afternoon, they've already brought the carbon tamid. The imkain einon yachol lahakrav hamusaf, and at that point you can't bring a carbon musaf. Why? Dichsiv, you know this, the Gemara in Yuma. The pasuk says, "Viktir aleha chalvei hashlamim v'darshinan aleha hashlam kol karbonos kulan she'ein carbon kariv lacharel." The rule is nothing happens after the afternoon carbon tamid. So I don't understand what's going to be. What did they do about musaf? They're acting as though Musaf had nothing wrong with it. So he gives three answers. His first answer is Vitirates. De'afilu lobo ad la'achar akrabas hatamid mikomakom hamusaf in Craven. That they brought the Musaf after the afternoon carbon tamid if need be.
That would be an exception only under this circumstance.
De'echa de'lo efshar sha'ani. If you can't do anything else, what are you going to do? He says, I'll give you another example of that. Let's say you have somebody who is on his seventh day of purification from whatever it was, on Erev Pesach, and he still needs to bring a carbon in order to become fully tar, able to eat kachim. So, shemevi kaparaso la'achar ha'karvaz ha'tamad shal bein ha'arbayim bo'ochal pischom yibarev. We will let him bring his carbon for kapara after the afternoon carbon tamid so that he can eat from the carbon Pesach that night. So he says, no, it's the way it goes. So his first answer is, the reason we didn't mention Musaf is because they had a way to handle Musaf. They would stall the Musaf until after the afternoon carbon tamid. That's his first approach. Second approach. Ve'od yesh lomar, alternatively you could say, da'asi asei de'rabim, v'dachi asei de'hashlama mishum da'alam tfei. He says, you could say the communal mitzvahs asei of bringing the carbon Musaf overrides the assay of make the afternoon carbon your last carbon. Da'ach yarmuinam b'tamid nishchat da'asi asay de pesach da'anush karis v'da'achi asay da'ashlama de'eno anush karis. He says the same answer we gave regarding this fellow who's the mechuser kippurim, where we say there's a karis issue involved if he doesn't bring this carbon. So that is important enough to override ala hashlem kol karbonos kula. So that's his second answer. It's really the same as the first answer. We bring it after the carbon tamid. The Yesh Mefarshim, and then he brings you a third answer. If you see where the lines get wider and you go up six lines, he says, some explain, Demeikara Aisu HaTamid Umasnu. He says, they brought the carbon tamid, like we're saying, but they made a condition with it. Im lo yavo edim yehe tamid. Remember, what kind of a carbon is your carbon tamid?
Shlamim.
Nope. What kind of a carbon is your carbon tamid? Think about the pasuk that talks about it in the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh. Ola. Olas Tamid. Okay, so your carbon is an Ola. That's to our advantage. Because you can bring an Ola as a voluntary thing, stam. So you make a condition. Im lo yavo edim, if no edim show up, safan yitam. V'im yavo, and if Edim show up, yehemin hamusafin, then we will count this Ola as one of the Musaf Karbanos. V'achar kach yaviyu azatamid ushar Karbanos, and then you bring the rest. So that's his third answer, although he doesn't like it. He says, v'lo nehira. He says, that doesn't seem right. Literally, it's not illuminated. De'ika behed, or it doesn't illuminate. De'ika behed yahasam da'amru shir shalchol imtamid shalbein harabayim. Because then you can end up with saying the weekday song, right, with this afternoon tamid that turns out to be the musaf, and then you're just back to square one. You haven't solved anything. In any case, Tosfos does not take a side. He's simply answering for the carbon musaf problem.
There's no requirement of machshava when you give a korban.
There is, but there are cases where you allow for a t'nai. It comes up in a variety of cases. It comes up, for example, if a woman was supposed to bring a set of birds, one as an ola and one as a chatas, and her birds get mixed up with somebody else's birds, and then you bring them al tanai, maybe it's this person's, maybe it's that person's. The whole beginning of Zvachim is focused on the question of what you have to have in mind, and having the right carbon in mind, and the right owner in mind, and so on. But there is leeway for tanai. So that's Tosfos' approach. Tosfos does not tell us what went wrong with the song. He's just dealing with the Musaf issue. But that brings us to the Rambam. And take a look on your sheets, please. It's source Dalet. Okay. Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Gimel Halacha. Hey, deals with our issue of these Edim. Barishonayim Akavlan Edus HaChodesh, Kol Yom Shloshim. Right? Initially, all day, the 30th of Elul, they would accept Edim. Pam achas, once, nishtahu ha'edem milavo ad beinu arbaim, the witnesses did not show up until the afternoon. V'niskalkalu b'mikdash, they became confused, they made a mistake in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo yadu ma ya'asu, they didn't know what to do. Im yasu ola shal beinu arbaim, if you can do the afternoon ola, shema yavo edem. Like the question that Tosfos noted, then we're going to be stuck. If we brought the afternoon talmud, we can't bring the musaf. So the Rambam says, then they decided to accept only until mincha. That way, there would be enough time for them to do everything. So, according to the Rambam, what happened in the Beis Hamikdash that year? What happened when things became corrupted?
The Batidin stood up and said they made it.
No, but what went wrong? Before the Batidin got involved.
What went wrong? It seems like they didn't know what to do.
There was no time to be probably check out the Edom.
What he's suggesting, Howie.
They were paralyzed.
They didn't do a korban mitzvah.
They didn't do a korban. They didn't do the afternoon korban.
They didn't do afternoon. They were paralyzed. They didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do.
Right.
That's exactly the problem. Witnesses didn't show up. They're sitting there thinking, we don't know if this is going to be a musaf or if it's going to be a carbon
talmid. More like the first shot we had in the...
Well, the problem is that it's against everything. What do you...
Yeah.
Why did the Gemara... I would think, if you want to record this story of what went wrong, you're not going to say they got messed up with the song. They didn't bring a carbon... They didn't know whether to bring a carbon talmid or not.
They didn't know whether to accept the Edom?
No. The witnesses haven't shown up yet. It's 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Everyone's waiting to see. Are you going to bring the afternoon talmid or not? Okay. And they're all standing around saying, well, I don't know. Well, should we have a shear? Should we not have a shear? They don't know. They don't know anything. So that's the way the Rambam looks at it. So what's going on here?
Is that inconsistent with the first shot in Rosh Hashanah? With the first svar in Rosh Hashanah on Lake Rav Zera?
Well, no, it's not. But it's inconsistent with the Gemara. The first approach is they didn't sing at all. But why would you tell me they didn't sing? They didn't bring a carbon.
Oh, you should have said they didn't bring a carbon. Okay.
But it's a big issue.
But it's not a steer it to that svarich. You should have told us you didn't bring the carbon. Maybe it means both.
The other problem is...
They didn't know what to do, so they didn't know what to do with everything.
I mean, but the other problem is that they did bring a carbon.
Right.
This is where the witnesses are late, right? So the witnesses don't show up. At a certain point... You either cut bait because you say we only have a minute left to bring a carbon, so we're going to bring the carbon talmid because witnesses aren't here. Or your witnesses showed up an hour before, and then you brought the right carbon. What was it that actually happened that day? I mean, tell me they didn't bring a carbon. Mamash, they didn't do anything?
Okay, just so that I understand the case here. Okay, it says, Barishna ha'yumakali eidid ha'chosh kol yom shoshim. That means it used to be the use to take the Edim even after Mincha.
Right.
And all these times after Mincha, they did not have problems. Then one time there was an incident that after Mincha there was a problem.
Right, although we don't know how it would have been different from any other year.
Right. But it would mean that all the other times that he took after Mincha, it can't be an issue with this year.
Not necessarily. Maybe they didn't delay as much. Every year they came earlier in the other times, and this particular time, because they were makabel the whole day.
It's unlikely.
Trying to say that it never happened before.
Sounds like that. Well, you could say they were makabel all day, and most of the time, and until this particular time, they came well enough in time that you didn't have a problem.
That's why I'm asking what the case is.
Right.
In other words, is that the case? What was I saying, or is it that they used to come after Mincha and just one time? the Levine
because if you say if it's say your case, then the question is why were they paralyzed? Why did his time weren't Moscalco before? How did they solve the problem before?
Right.
If they came late before and they weren't Moscalco, why weren't they Moscalco when they came late
that's
before?
That's the point. Yeah, one time it happened, they were Moscalco, so that they decided to change it.
See,
but beforehand, they accepted it late.
The problem is first of all, it's very difficult for me to think that this was the first time in history that Adam showed up that late. Realistically, witnesses are going to show up late if the moon wasn't visible until a certain
time. If that's the case, then how were they not Moscalco before?
Exactly.
And how they were Moscalco?
What should they have done that they didn't do?
Yeah, why all of a sudden?
There also somewhere that witnesses didn't come because they thought someone else saw it. And they live closer, so...
Yeah, that's like where Rosh Hashanah that talks about witnesses not showing.
Maybe before they had the Chochmah to make the Tanai, and now they didn't.
Well, we don't know, but let's look at the Lecha Mishnah, because he's going to try to resolve this problem altogether. Source A. Rabbeinu Zal Pasa Kamanda Amr Shalo Amru Shira Kol Iker. He says, the Rambam is siding with the view that they didn't sing any song, unlike the way that Rashi took it, right, that they sang the daily song. They didn't sing any song. Mishum du Gemara Amru, because in the Gemara they said, Hacha Targimu, here, this is the way it was explained. So he took that as the approach. Ulakach Kasav Shinis Kalkulu, and that's why he wrote that they became corrupted. Mipnei Shaloa Yuyodin Im Hayazem Musaf, Mipnei Shu Yomto, Vi Efshar Shiyah Tamit Shacharav, Lo Yuchlu Lahakri, Shacharav Shacharav Lo Yuchlu Lahakri Musaf. He says they didn't know if this should be the carbon Musaf, because it's Yom Tov. And it can't be a tamid because then you won't be able to do a musaf anymore. Oh, yeah, tamid, or maybe it's the tamid. Nishlo yavoedim because witnesses aren't showing. Vehem hikrivu b'derech tnai. So they did what Tosfos suggests in his third approach. They did the conditional karban, but now they didn't know what to do. Vakilkol nimsa shahaya bishir. The corruption ended up being because we're doing this carbon on tonight on condition. I don't know what we're supposed to sing. Aval pishezeu k'tzas dachok b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal. So the Lecha Mishnah here makes a frank admission. He says the truth is it's hard to fit this into the wording of the Rambam. If you read the Rambam in Dalet, it doesn't sound like that's what he's talking about. Umagam kilo hisker klame in hashir. The Rambam didn't even mention the word shir in his entire discussion. You have to get his language to work somehow. And he said, I haven't seen any better explanations. So the Lecha Mishnah says, I guess that's what the Rambam means.
The cosmic state, it kind of makes sense because either he clearly it's not Reb Zeira. So if it's not Reb Zeira, you have to force it into this shot.
Yeah.
What other choice do you have?
Well, that's what the Lecha Mishnah said. He said, I don't have another choice. But it's a fascinating problem, trying to figure out what the Rambam is talking about having happened here. But the upshot of this is, according to everybody involved, Rosh Hashanah by Takana ends up being a two-day entity. You don't have an option. It's going to have to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, the egg laid on day one is also on day two. We view it as one extended Kedusha, which of course also leads to our, you know, need to make a Shechianu on fruit or on clothing on the second night, and a Kiddush, and the whole bit. But that is all only relevant in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. If my reason for making a second day of Rosh Hashanah is because I am concerned about a mess with the afternoon Karban Tamid, then the moment the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, my reason for doing that is gone. Go back to one day Rosh Hashanah.
How do you know which day it is?
The same way you do any other time of the year. At worst, you know, we have a fixed calendar and we say.
Wednesday could establish the calendar you're talking about.
Well, it doesn't even matter. We establish the month. So whenever we establish the first month, we'll have that day.
Whatever we set up. In other words, we don't have a phenomenon of keeping a second day Rosh Chodesh because of Safek. You say, this is the beginning of our month. And that'll be that. It's trickier than regularly on Matovim, which tend to be mid-month. Yeah, that makes this harder. But why is it that we're doing 2 days? So that's exactly the discussion that the Gemara now has to have. What happens post? Because that means in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you have a takana of 2 days, so therefore the egg laid on day one is also on day two. But is that true post-Beis HaMikdash? So that's what we have to get to here. If we're going to do, as Alan is suggesting, and say we're keeping a second day because of doubt anyway, then it's like the 2 days of Yom Tov.
Right.
In which case, the egelet on day one is mutter on day two. So the Gemara is going to ask, what is it that we do, bismaninu? And what we're going to get is two answers from Rabbah and then Rabbi Yosef. There's going to be Rabbah 1.0, Rabbah 2.0, and then Rabbi Yosef. So Amar Rabbah, we're four lines down on Hayamid Aleph. Mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'elach beitza muteres. From the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana and onward, the egg is permitted. Now, what does he mean when he says from the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and onward? So Rashi fills in the gap. Actually, no, the next line in the Gemara is going to fill it in for you. The Rashi is also good, but the next line of the Gemara is better. The Disnan, here's the Mishnah. Mishachara beis hamikdash hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shu mekavlan edus hachodesh kol hayom. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, no concern, therefore, about getting the right carbon or the right song. So they went back to accepting the Edom all day long.
Even when you were accepting all day long, that day that you were accepting Edom, you said it was still treated as Kodesh.
Yes.
So it's basically, you were still having... Let's see, come on that day, though. They treated it as Kodesh, and it was still, that was the actual day.
Yeah. So they're accepting Edom all day long, and therefore your egg is going to be mutter the next day. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, you forgot the beginning of our Gemara. He couldn't say it quite that way, because Rabbah is his Rebbe. But he says, we started this Gemara half an hour ago with Rav and Shmuel saying the egg laid on day one is usher on day two. Rav and Shmuel are well after the Beis HaMikdash. Rav and Shmuel are the middle of the 3rd century Common Era. Beis HaMikdash hasn't been standing for 150 years, sorry. And they're the boot. But the point is that why would they have said Asur? But Rabbi Shmuel Damri Trabayu Beitza Asura. They both said the egg is Asur on the next day. So Omar Le, Rabbi replies to him, Amino Lachana Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Ve'at Amritli Rabbi Shmuel. Why are you bringing me Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai? I can't answer for Rabbi Shmuel, but I can tell you what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai did. So, nu, ul Rabbi Shmuel kashem as nisin. Okay, fine. So it's not a stira. It doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But what are you going to do for Rabbi Shmuel? How are you going to explain them? So he says, lo kasha, no problem. Ha lun, v'ha lehu. One is for us, and one is for them. So we need to explain what that's talking about, because that's not simple and straightforward. First of all, just to take a step back, within his initial statement, why are we keeping 2 days? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, mitakanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, towards the bottom of the thinnest lines in Rashi. From the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana, they accepted all day long, and the egg is mutter on day two. So Rashi says, Shehezir adabar liyoshno, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai returned to the matter to the way it had once been. Lekabal edusan kol hayom, to accept the edim all day, ulekadesh hayom, nimtza she'ein beis din osin shnei yamim. The result is that beis din would not do 2 days at all. Beis din doesn't need 2 days for Rosh Hashanah anymore.
Sure.
The basin that's being Kovei L'Chodesh, it's Yerushalayim, yeah. V'hir v'archokim, ha'osim shnei yamim, eino elam isafek, and those who are far away, who are doing 2 days, are doing out of doubt. Is it Bavel? Are you sure of that?
That's what Ben Hanan says.
Okay, but think for a second. Is the rachokim Bavel?
No, the rachokim was defined by a certain time distance of how long it took. It couldn't. Anyway, why would it have to be Bavel? Could have been other.
Anywhere where the messenger didn't reach.
What messengers? It's Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, right.
It's too late. Anybody who is more than a stone's throw, so to speak, from the base then, is going to be in trouble. So keep that in mind. We have to come back to that. But he says, but his point is, everybody else is keeping 2 days out of doubt. They don't know whether day 30 ended up being day 1 or day 31 ended up being day 1. Right? It's just like any other 2 days Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? One of them is a weekday. Whether it's the first day is a weekday or the second day is a weekday, one of them is not Yom Tov. So that was the initial point in Rashi. So the Gemara's answer, Rabbah 2.0, is to say, ha lun, v'ha lehu. So the question is, what does that mean when you say one is for them and one is for us and one is for them? So Rashi gives us one explanation. Rashi, the beginning of the wide lines, halan v'halahu, he says, Libnei Yisrael she'osin yom echad muteres. Libnei Eretz Yisrael she'osin yom echad muteres. For those who live in Israel, they do one day, the egg is mutter, the next day.
What is he talking about when he says that, Rashi? He's talking about his time, or is he talking
about post-Beis HaMikdash. Uh-huh. He's claiming that the line that said muteres, under Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai...
Like I said to you, in Eretz Yisrael, until the Ashkenazim...
No, he's not. This is all only a Havamina. This isn't... Yeah. Avaladidan b'nei gola, but for us outside of Eretz Yisrael, then that's where Rav and Shmuel were talking when they said Asura. Shereyadayin anu osin shnei yamim, because we outside of Eretz Yisrael are doing 2 days. Ve'odenu kivatchila mipnei osa takana rishona lo mipnei safek, because he says the fact that outside Eretz Yisrael we do 2 days, not outside Eretz Yisrael, but yes, he put it as outside Eretz Yisrael. The idea that outside Eretz Yisrael we do 2 days is not because of safek, but it's because of the original takana that was made. It's an outgrowth of the takana in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we're going to do 2 days as one extended kedusha. That's the idea. That's the way that Rashi.
So why do you think he's not looks at his time?
Because he's not. He's trying to resolve Rav and Shmuel. He's solving for Rav and Shmuel and trying to figure out how they're going to work with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he's saying that Rav and Shmuel are describing what's done, as he puts it, outside of Eretz Yisrael. That in Eretz Yisrael they only need 1 day. In Eretz Yisrael, that argument made sense, and that Rav and Shmuel are talking outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Boy, Tosfos says
right. That's the idea. Yeah, no, I've read Tosfos. So that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, I don't know what you're talking about. According to the way you're framing it, what that means is that the line about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Eretz Yisrael line, right? So anybody in Eretz Yisrael should be doing 1 day. So Tosfos says, if you take a look at Tosfos, it's Tosfos halan v'halahu, but it's towards the end, about the latter half of Tosfos. V'im tomar l'Rabbi Yossi. Okay? He says, if you're using the standard issue Gemara, it's if you count up from the bottom of Tosfos, it's about 8-9 lines up. V'im Tomer, you might ask, L'Rabbi Yossi da'amar be'erevin gabi shneyam shal Rosh Hashanah nol de barishon asura b'sheni. That Rabbi Yossi says that in the Gemara in Erevin, that the egg laid on day one is asur on day two. V'ha Rabbi Yossi be'eretz Yisrael hava la'achar ha'chorban. Rabbi Yossi is in Eretz Yisrael, post-chorban. And yet he says the egg laid on day one is also on day two. So Tosfos comes up with an answer. His answer is V'yesh Lomar. I'm jumping down in Tosfos to his last few lines. V'yesh Lomar de la olam Rabbi Yossi mikodem churban ka'omar. Rabbi Yossi was talking about before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What was done then? And he says Ein la'akshos ma'ida hava hava. He says, don't ask me, well, then, what was? Why is Rabbi Yossi spending my time discussing whether an egg would have been mutter on day two, way back when? What is it? Why is the relevance? Because he's still teaching me psak, that'll be relevant for B'nai Bavel, following this idea, which Rashi articulated, that the reason why we keep 2 days outside Eretz Yisrael is an outgrowth of the original takana that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's really one long day for us as well. That's Tosfos' take. Tosfos and Rashi are in agreement that ha-lan, ha-lehu, is a split between Israel and Chutzlaretz. The Pnei Yoshua says, I'm sorry, but that's not what's going on here. Take a look at Source Mouth, please. Source Mouth. Meir Yeshua says, "B'tosos di Ramaschal halan halahu." He asks, "V'im Tomer l'Rav Yosi v'chule v'har Rav Yosi v'Eretz Yisrael havi ad kan l'shano." End of quote from Tosfos. Then he says, "Olafini es daiti ain't divrei hamuvanimli." He says, "I don't understand what they're talking about." The Kol Shekein, the Hada Amrinon Halahu, Lama Kol B'nei Eretz Yisrael Kai. He says, Halahu, that this is what they did, can't be talking about all of Israel, that all of Israel could keep one day. It's nonsense. All of Israel, most of Israel, had to do 2 days because of doubt. Your shluchim aren't going anywhere until after Rosh Hashanah. The first day would always be in doubt, even if your witnesses show up on your second day of Yom Tov, right? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, they're doing only 1 day. So let's say you live, 8 hours walk, or 8 hours ride from the Beis Din. You still observed day one, not knowing what to make of it. There's no way around it.
Maybe they went back to the bonfire system.
How's that going to help?
Yeah, no one can light bonfires. Yeah, but no one can light bonfires except for the one in the Beis Din. So he says, Al karcha chayu osin shneim shiyom rishon hayalem la'olam besafek. So he says, no, they're all keeping 2 days. Only if you're in the Beis Havad, and that was my answer to you about from your email. Only if you're in the Beis Havad are you able to do 1 day. V'had amrinan halahu hayu l'makom havad l'chud. When it says halahu, this was for them that they could only do that. They could do 1 day. Al Rabbi Yochanan Metzakai. That's only if you're in the Beis Havad. In which case, Tosus's question about Rabbi Yossi is now irrelevant. Because Rabbi Yossi is in Eretz Yisrael, but he's not in the Beis Havad.
What happened before the Takana, though?
What do you mean? Which Takana do you mean?
When they only kept 1 day Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
In Eretz Yisrael. So how did they?
So anybody outside was keeping 2 days. Anybody who was not in the Beis Havad was keeping 2 days.
It's not mushroom like that, though.
It has to be. There's no other way to read it. That Hexen has nothing to do with the Takana. It's just like every other Shteyam.
But the Pnei Yeshua is definitely arguing with the way Rashi did. The funny thing is, yes. Rashi's really censored himself because the Lashon and Rashi changes from the Rashi we learned before on Ben Zakkai. Because Ben Zakkai uses the terminology Rechokim, which means anything far enough away from the Beis Din, central Beis Din. And then switches when he says Halahan Bahalahu, which is essentially then dividing
Eretz Yisrael
and Golan.
I think the big question is, why does Rashi say Eretz Yisrael? Because I don't understand.
That's the Pnei Yeshua's question, especially since he already identified it in the previous Rashi. He classifies as a Rechokim as making the distinction.
So all of this, everything that we just said, is a response to the problem of Rav and Shmuel saying the egg is asur on day two. Right? That's what this is all about. So what we now established, using the Pnei Yeshua's take, is that anybody outside of the Beis Din is not able to use the egg because they've been observing 2 days all along as an outgrowth of the original state, in which case it's all going to be a correct one Kedusha. And only in the Beis Havad are they going to be able to do differently. Are they going to be able to use the egg on day two? That is his answer.
Oh, but Beis Havad, they only have 1 day.
Yeah. Rabbi Yosef is going to give us an entirely different approach to the issue. And that's really going to trigger a whole other discussion about repealing Gezeros. So I think that's probably a good spot.
Does anyone try to call the answer to this Pnei Yeshua?
Yeah,
I didn't. I'm sure, but I didn't see it. Yeah. All right.